W2TTT. Well, we're about to start the check net. Any stations with emergency or priority traffic, please call K2BAR. Okay, this is K2BAR, W2TTT at the operations desk here. My name is Gordon. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Any amateur who's licensed to operate in the 2-meter band is welcome and encouraged to participate. The purpose of this net is to discuss anything related to amateur radio, because everything related to amateur radio is by definition technical. So, for those who care, 6 meters is wide open to Florida and the Gulf, and the Lord knows wherever else. It started a little while ago. And so, we may be having a good net, we may have a short net, we'll find out. We might have both. We might even move it to 6 meters. Who knows? Anyway, stations with, what do you call it, or without questions or comments to that are encouraged to check in, because that sometimes your mere presence causes us to bring up a subject that you may not be aware that we want to bring up. We may not be aware until you show up that we want to bring it up. So, on that note, we're going to ask stations to check in with their call sign, their name, and whether or not they have a question or comment or none of the above. We'll start with Kilo 2 stations. Kilo 2 stations, please call K2BAR. Call sign, name, and whether or not you have a question or comment.
Kilo 2, Delta Sierra Lima, David with question.
UDSL, David, good evening to you. And your questions are always going to be welcome, I'm sure. They're always intriguing when you do pop one. So nice to hear you tonight. And that's so noted. And if I just could type correctly, we'll be fine. All right. Any other Kilo 2s, please call K2BAR. Any other Kilos, any Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
KO2 okay, Bennett.
KO2 okay, Bennett. Bennett, do you have a question or a comment or confusion for the net?
Just listening.
On 6 meters, I think I heard you just working Butch, right?
I did.
I got 6 meters and tell him I heard him too, and that his G5RV sounds like hell. Tell him I said that. Anyway. Alrighty. Any other stations, Kilo stations, please call K2BAR. Call sign, name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above. Okay, the Whiskey stations, all Whiskey stations, K2BAR.
This is W2JEK, done, no question.
any late check-ins. Call sign name and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
No question.
Okay, I got a couple of stations in there. Helmut, good evening to you, K2BDU. Got you in here. And I got the no question thing. Who else?
K2ORX, no question.
Hey, Robert, got you in here. Very good. And that's a good thing as well. Got your no questions. Anybody else? Other than that, please call K2BAR. We're going to go to David first. K2DSL. Oh, by the way, just to, before we go to David, I just want to make an announcement that we want to hear war stories from a couple of things, if possible, tonight, later on, after the questions. One would be the VHF contest war stories, and the other one is any weather-related war stories, Aries or Skywarn-related, either or, it doesn't matter. Okay, so, with that in mind, K2DSL, your question, Mr. Dave, K2DAR.
K2DAR, K2DSL, I have a two-part question, and the first part of my question is I have a G5RV up. I have connected to a LD200 Pro that I have on loan, connected to an IT706 that I have on loan. And the G5RV has 70 feet of coax, of which I probably need about 20 feet of. So right now I have 50 feet of it coiled up in my basement. And I wanted to know if I should leave it coiled up or if I should trim it to maybe 30 feet or just exactly what I need. So that's my question.
Okay, missed one key point. Type of antenna, type of coax, and band.
It's a G5RV, full-size one, strung across my, diagonally across my property. It's got, I think, 30 or 35 feet of ladder line. And then it's got, I think it's 8X coax from there to the termination point.
My honest opinion is you can leave it as is. You might consider a couple of things. One, coiling some of it up, maybe 6 to 10 turns, about 10 inches in diameter. Just below where it meets the ladder line. And if you have any more, do the same thing in the shack, just to choke off any RF that might be on the coax. And just because of a sense of economy, I wouldn't be inclined to cut that coax down. I mean, I would just leave it alone. Does anybody have any, shall we say, differing comments on it?
KC2THD.
From Gene, KJI.
Okay, we have two things. THD, I got you. We'll get to you in a second. Noel, what is your point about Gene?
I had terrible problems. I have a 102-foot G5RV. I got the, 37 feet of 450-ohm down to the connector, and then 100 foot of 58X coming in. I could not tune this thing up 10 meters. Save my life. We got the head and tuner. All the other bands, no problem. Maybe 2 to 3 to 1 SWR. Well, it turns out that this antenna hates 10 meters. If you have the short one, the 51-foot one, you can do 10 meters. With the 102-foot one, it makes a big difference in your length of your cable. Generally speaking, short lengths of coax will give you problems, and Gene squares by 67 feet, for whatever reason, as being the magic length that allow you to do 10 meters as well as the other bands with the least amount of problems and to oil.
Okay, very good. That's a good bit of advice. Anybody else have comments on this point?
KC2THD.
question. Just like he said, the G5RV, that coax is an inherent part of the tune system. You're not tuning the coax, you're tuning the landline, but it, like he said, 67 feet is about the right number. A lot of them come with 70-foot coiled up, and one of the things to stop stray RF, like you were mentioning, to come back down the line, doesn't really change the tuning, is like 6 or 7 turns of it coiled up outside on like a 6-inch piece of PVC. Tends to stop some stray RF from coming back down into the shack. But the, right, that coax, you can't just cut that coax to any length you want. Like, after the ladder line, not the antenna doesn't stop. That 67 feet is critical to be able to tune up on old bands. I have the same antenna, and I got a 67-foot coax. I can tune on 10. It's a little touchy. It's beautiful on 20, good on 40, does not work on 15, and 80 is okay, too. But, yeah, that the length of that coax is critical to a G5RV. A properly made one will have the right length coax. If you do not cut it, you need to coil it up. Over.
Somebody B2W. Okay, let's start out a couple of things. THD, what is your name again? I'm brain dead.
Oh, Roger. It's Harold. QTH is Oakland.
Okay, Harold. Very good. And Rich, WPQ, go.
Yeah, I'm out here watching the fire truck trying to rescue a cat out of the tree. It's been here for 3 days now. We called everybody under the sun. Finally, the fire department shows up in the dark. as far as that G5RV, is that the dipole he had up?
Yes, sir.
I had a half wave on 160, fed with 35 feet of ladder line, and then about 67 feet of twin coax. Teflon, and with the matchbox, any band, in the band, out of the band, flat. The length of that coax that you're going to attach to it is critical.
Okay, because I have no issue, at least with the AT200 tuner, getting down to 1.3 or lower, and I've tried 10, 20, 40, and 80. So I know it can tune it okay. I just wasn't sure if I was, you know, wasting anything. But like you guys have said, the coax part's an important part of it. So if I'm going to coil it up, should I coil it up outside? Should I coil it up in my basement where it's dry? Does it matter? I also read about the twisting around the PVC pipe 6 to 10 times. To help the RF as well, so I'm going to do that too.
I think you know your answer then. Do the PVC thing or the 10-inch circle like you would have on a tri-bander, either or, just below the where the it goes to the twin lead, and then you can coil up the rest inside the shack or right just inside the shack as the case may be. Keep that RF choked out, what can I tell you? Any other comments for David?
W2J.
Was that directed to me, Gordon?
Generic comment. Rich first and then Don.
Okay. My coax I had just, you know, rolled it up and it was strapped to the side of the tower at ground level. As far as that other piece of coax that you want to wrap around a coffee can 6 turns, I use that on the tri-bander so that the RFO can come back down. And Don, you pick it up. I'm over here by the fire trucks. Double Beach, WPQ.
Okay, Rich, W2JEK. One thought on that whole thing is you're losing somewhere along the line, you're losing 15 meters in there. I wouldn't want to lose that band. I don't know if anybody other have a, I don't know if Noel's experience it with, you have 15 meters on your setup, with, what's different about it that you have it and somebody else doesn't, or...
Okay. Any other comments for David's quandary?
I haven't tried 15 meters yet. I could try it. I'm sure it'll tune it fine because I haven't had a problem tuning anything. I just haven't got on 15 meters yet.
20s? The 20 is a zoo, and there's good propagation. It starts to go up on 15, especially when 12 or 10 aren't quite ready to rock and roll. Hey, that's good. 6 meters seems to have quieted down in the last few minutes. Let's see. David, do you have anything else that you want to pose to us before we move on?
Yeah, I have one other question. So I have the antenna going into my friend's LDG-AT200 Pro, which then connects to the ICOM 706. As soon as I tune 6 meters on the ICOM 706, it says if the tuner turns off, it doesn't tune anything, and I'm really not hearing anything on 6 meters. Now, I know that with a dipole, it's the G5RV, it might not be great for 6 meters, but I figured I'd hear something on it. And I'm just wondering how come the antenna tuner turns off. Is it just supposed to do that? There's really no tuning on it, and I'm just not getting anything on the 706? This is not something I've done before.
K2GCL repeater.
Well, the tuner's rated for 6 meters. The question is, SWR beyond its capabilities? I guess that's my question.
Well, it's just the equivalent as if I'm turning it off. It's not like it's trying to tune in and it can't do it. As soon as I hit go to, and the tuners are hooked up to each other, so the ICOM knows and it automatically tunes it. As soon as I go to 6 meters on the ICOM, so if I just, you know, go to like 53 or anything, it just acts as if it's not even in line anymore.
Okay, are we certain that the tuner is capable of running the running on 6 meters?
Yes.
I'd be happy to work you after the net. I have my HF rig in the truck with me, so and the 6 meter halo is ready to rock and roll. So, in fact, I'm on 125 now, listening. I have my right ear, so I'm listening to the net. So, anyway, we can do that, David. Would you like to do that after the net?
Yeah, sure. I'm not sure I'll be able to hear you, but we can talk on VHF while we're doing it and probably try to hook up. I'll tune to it now.
What town are you in?
Waldwick, on the Allendale border.
I can make sure that you hear me. Yeah. This ham station has wheels. So anyway, I can just go across Ridgewood Avenue and I'll find a way to hear you, or vice versa. Anyway, not a problem. All right. Next subject, I believe, is, well, let's make sure. Is that it, David?
Yes, that's it for me. Thanks, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Again, we do want to get to war stories of either weather-related war stories in ham radio contest-related ones. So feel free to socialize on that point in a few moments. Let's get the questions out of the way first. Noel, you have a multi-part question, as is your custom, by the way, I'll point out. And to OEL, it's yours. W2TTT, break, K2BAR.
K2BAR and to OEL. During Ralph's Handfest last Sunday, one of the things I purchased was a Palomar 4-to-1, they pronounce it B-A-L-U-N, Ballon. Anyways, said, oh wow, good, I can make a loop antenna. I mean, it was dirt cheap. And I get the thing home, look it up on the net, and I find there's two versions. The one I had said 4-to-1 current for low Z antennas. So I talked to Tony K to AMI. Tony says, well, what you got is a bunch of ferrites. So I opened it up, and I see like a big toroid in there. And it certainly looks like they're winding on it, a couple different windings. So I say, okay, put it back together, go look at the other one. Can't see the other one because, of course, it's on the net. But it says it's 4-to-1. It's 50 ohms for its cable, just like this one. From the outside, they look identical. Connections are identical. It says it's a voltage one. It's for high Z. Okay, so the question is, what's the difference? That's the first question. What's the difference between them? Do I have the right one that's supposed to be used for a loop antenna for 10 meters in this case? Next thing I did is I have some coax that Mr. NS2K declared was a great dummy load. So I took that, I'm using just a shield, and I'm using that as my antenna element. So I go up in the internet, I look for some charts, I say okay, and the chart tells me how long it's supposed to be. I put it up, borrow the antenna tuner from Tony, says it's frequency resonant 26. So I start cutting it, finally get the resonant frequency down to up to 28.565. I said perfect, that's great for the net. I tune it's 1.1, and when I get down to the net 28.350, it's 1.1 or 2, which flips back and forth. Very broad tuning, by the way. I mean, it's like over a megahertz and a half wide. You can go quite a distance on the loop. Either way, it's still tuned. So I waited for the net on Monday night. Normally, I'm vertically polarized, everybody else is horizontal. So what I said, okay, I couldn't hear anybody with this antenna. My length of coax happens to be 67 feet, the piece the Gene made for me, that I didn't put on my G5RV yet. It's up in the antenna, laid on the rafters, and I ran it down through the access hatch. I suspect I'm getting a lot of noise from the electrical fixtures and stuff. I could not hear anybody on the net. I should have thought about transmitting on it. I got them both hooked up to my MSJ Versatuner 2. By the way, Dave, I have the same LCG Autotuner AT200 Pro as you do, which I also use. So that's the two questions, basically. High Z versus low Z. I couldn't find a real good explanation of what is high Z, what's low Z. And do you think the noise from my electrical lines and stuff is what I should... Do you think I should put this thing outside? I guess that's the third question. Back to that. K2BR, it's OEL.
Well? Any takers for Noel's question? I'm trying to remember what the characteristic impedance of a full wave loop would be. It would seem that it seems to me that whatever you're doing, you've done it right. And I say that because you're getting a good SWR through the ballon, and so I think you managed to nail it. I'm having a little trouble understanding how a high Z and a low Z ballon can each be, or two different ones, can be each 4-to-1 and still each give you 50 ohms. I'm having trouble with that whole concept. You know, one's got to be 1-to-1 and one's got to be 4-to-1. The one that's 4-to-1 is the high Z ballon, and the one that's 1-to-1 is the low Z ballon. That would seem to me to be the right answer, but that just what comes to mind. So, anyway, Don, what do you think?
I don't know what to think on that. Trying to get that all sorted out myself.
Good.
I swear to you, they both say 4-to-1. The only difference I can find is sort of the PALAMOR, Palomar, I think is how you spell it, website. Type in PALOMAR. I swear to you, they both say 4-to-1. It was driving me crazy. I'm trying to figure out what the difference. One says voltage high Z. One says current low Z. For the life of me, I searched the web for high Z, low Z. I can't figure out the difference, what you're talking about. the characteristic impedance of what I have, which is called a folded dipole, is approximately 200 ohms, depending on who you believe. As much as 300 in free space, and it should take 75 ohm coax if you believe that. But of course, close to Earth, it's around 200 ohms, according to all the references and Mr. Joyce, and it takes 50 ohm coax to feed it. That's what I found so far in 2OER.
I was thinking that a loop would be high Z, giving you a 50 ohm load. So, I guess what they're saying is that one to 13 to 50 ohm transformer, the other one's 200 ohm to 50 ohm transformer. I guess that's what I'm getting out of this picture. But a loop is 200 ohms in free space. So, I think we've kind of solved that problem. And that's pretty much what you've built. And it seems to be working just fine. So, it's a matter of getting it in the right direction, in the right place, whatever. So, you know, I think you need to think about that. And, just get it up in the air. Also make sure the feed point is at the bottom. If you want it to be horizontally polarized, or the side, if you want it to be vertically polarized, like those are the key points to think about.
K2GCL repeater.
I was going omnidirectional, horizontal.
You don't get that. The loop is horizontally polarized? Meaning that you mean horizontally oriented? Is that what you've done?
Yes, it's laid on the rafters, and it's considered to be a folded dipole, since the two legs are about a foot from each other, and I'm feeding it approximately in the center.
Okay.
Well?
I think you've answered your question. It's omnidirectional. But it's on the rafters. I think part of your problem, and you're going to find this on upper frequencies, or a lot of frequencies actually, that when you put antennas indoors, they don't always behave as well as you'd like.
Guess I got to put it outside.
There you go, and get it in the air too. Alrighty. Any other stations with comments on this? KGBAR.
KF2ID, just joined again. I think he said he had a loop indoors. Question is, if you have hot water heating, you have a lot of metal ducts spawning around the house. And if you have that poorly placed relative to those metal ducts, you might have a problem. Also, if you put it up in the attic, and the attic insulation has metal foil, that could give you a problem too. So essentially, Gordon, you're right. The best way to try this thing out properly is get it outside. That's my comment based on a little that I heard so far. KF2ID with K2VAR.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB, late check-in.
Right, Bigo.
No, it's just, this is just KC2PYB, late check-in.
Okay, very good. I have you, I have Ben. Go ahead. Anybody else checking into that, please call K2BAR.
K2AMI, just listening, no questions.
Oh, except we do want to report about the, the weekend, Tony. That's definitely something we find entertaining. And by the way, the 6 meters is back open again on 127. You can wear Kilo Golf 9 at Norway and Echo November 50. I think he said 50. Anyway, who knows? All right. Let's see who's next. Yeah, Echo November 50. I'll try to close that. There we go. All righty. So, any other check-ins before we go to other additional questions of Tony, perhaps? This is K2BAR.
K2BAR. VAR, this is KC2SAV. Ow.
Yeah. Good to hear you. Any questions, comments, confusions for the net? Anybody else? K2VAR.
K2VAR, KC2CHD. Had a comment before. I don't believe I checked in, though.
Okay, you're very good. I got you in already, Harold. You're good to go. Do you have a question or comment?
Negative, not this time. K2VAR.
Problem. Okay. Anybody else? K2VAR. Alrighty. Alright, so K2AMI, your saga is...
Okay, I have no questions, but I can make a report, I guess. First, and interesting enough, Gordon did forward me an email saying that the community services building is going to clear the parking lot for us this weekend. And I had to proceed to get that thread squared away with Gidget. You know, I'm sure you guys know Gidget, Gentry, who works with the OEM. Spoke to her, and she said she would square it away and make the OEM parking lot clear for next weekend so Barra can have their field day at 327 Ridgewood Road in Paramus. Saturday and Sunday is field day next week. That's item number one. Let me drop it. Yeah, we had a couple of operators working here in the shack over the weekend on the VHF contest. He had K2DSL there. David was on frequency, and KO2OK was an operator. And then S2K came in to do some logging with me. And WA2P and I, my nephew, came over. So, and of course, me, K2AMI, we had four people involved with the contest here from my basement. And again, David very enthusiastically did a great job at logging and getting the computers working and making some contacts. He had a lot of fun. The contacts, okay? Let me drop it again. On 60 megacycle band, we had 138 queues and 53 grids. And as you know, most of those grids were accumulated on Sunday when the band was open. Interesting enough, I was very happy to make contact in Iowa and Nebraska on Sunday afternoon. That was quite unusual for 6 meters. On 2 meters, we did 46 queues with 15 grids. Not so impressive, but we spent most of our time on 6. At 222, we did 22 queues and 8 grids. And on 432, we did 19 queues and 7 grids. I had a total of 225 contacts with 83 grids and a probable point total of 22,078. But that's raw grid, raw information. We haven't had it refined yet by Phil Barber, K2YOH, who Googles over the logs for me. Any comment? Go back to you now, Gordon, with any comments or questions.
Great. And we've also spawned...
Hello?
Sorry about that. Try to... What's going on here? The microphone connector's loose again. Here we go. I tightened it up. All right, that's better. Make sure I have it.
You got it.
Yeah, sorry about that. Okay. That sounds great. David is a new, excited, enthusiastic potential operator. That's a great thing. Let's see. We got on late on Sunday. I want to say after 4, when I finally got on. And I made 10 or 11,000 points. 155 Qs, or 156 Qs, I can't remember, something like that. And, I don't know, some, you know, decent, you know, number of multipliers. I won't say it's in the 50s, but I can't remember off the top of my head. Whatever it is, about 10 or 11,000 points, whatever that works out to be. It was fun. The interesting thing was working... W3OT in FN00 on 2 meters, 6 meters, and 432. And it just made me cry for lack of time for the contest because I was,
Indian doing real well, and I did something else to the south like that too on 2 meters, SMOA. They didn't work KAGP, which was kind of humiliating, but if it happens to get into the contest late, you know, things kind of slack off a bit. People are looking in other directions. But, you know, did get some antenna improvements in, and we'll be ready for September. So, Tony, I'm going to send you my my log. You want it in Cabrillo form, I assume. I'll send you my log, and you can forward it on to Phil for the for inclusion in the club score. But between the two of us, we, you know, we did a pretty decent job, and that's a good thing. One of the things I would recommend in the future is that, you know, whether or not we have a hilltop effort or not, that we think about, you know, concentrating on a handful of logs that we're going to submit that we're going to make sure have effective operations. Whether they're single op or multi-op doesn't matter, but that they're supported and they work. And that way we can go in for the small club or local club category as a club and put some good scores in for that. I think that might be something to think about. You know, keep the number of submitted scores down to a dull roar, but make sure that we have, you know, ample opportunity for everybody to operate. You know, whether they're multis or, you know, multis like Tony's was or mine, which is single, that we have some supported quality stations, but just a handful, so we can take that local club category. I think that'd be a good thing for Barrett to do. It's just something that we can make doable because of the way we operate and the scale of some of our operators kind of works well with that.
K2GCL repeater.
The other thing I was thinking about was, I just amused, I 500 or more points came off my score because Jim NS2K finished his rovering and then stopped by my house and wanted to shoot the bull about the contest, etc. So it was kind of fun. So we sat in the deck for the next 3 hours plus and shot the bull about the contest. So it was pretty funny, actually. All right. So on that note, NS2K, it's your ball. K2BAR.
Hello.
NS2K.
Yeah, just at the grid surround and with the added bonus of 220. So we got a few points there as well. Although it's just the HT with a very limited antenna, it nonetheless worked in most cases. But yeah. Oh, has anybody, I haven't heard the entire net, has anybody talked about Persephone on, what is it, Saturday, about heading over there? I suppose that's mostly headed toward the Tony and Mr. K.
Does anybody know about the Amfest on Saturday?
I have info on the Amfest. K2AMI.
Johnny.
With the Piscataway High School in Piscataway, New Jersey. And I love the address. It's on the corner of Ronnie, on two streets that border the high school. One's called Hose Lane, that's H-O-E-S Lane, and Beamer Road, B-E-H-M-E-R, Beamer Road. So it's from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, June 21st. I think the admission charge is $6, I'm not sure. And I guess it's a W2QW, something like that, Amfest. But there is one coming up Saturday. If anybody's further interested, you can check it on the websites.
Work on Hose Lane.
That's right, Hose Lane and Beamer Road.
Right, it's right down the street from the tower building at what used to be Belcor. But anyway, very, very good. All right. Well, I think that's your answer, Jim. Any further comments on that or the weekend festivities?
I'm not hearing a whole lot of commitment from Tony, whether he wants to get up at the wee hours and head on down there. I could be convinced.
EMI with info?
Yes, sir.
It has not yet been decided in my house. So keep in touch, and I'll let you know.
Hey. I understand that drill. All right. Next one. K2DSL, your comments, sir, from the weekend.
It was a lot of fun other than the lightning on Saturday that prevented us from operating. I don't remember if Tony said he got on later that night, but Bennett was there, then I came, and shortly after I got there, the lightning kicked in, so we had to unplug everything. And it looked like from looking at the radar that there wasn't going to be a break anytime soon, so I headed home, and then Tony let me back in around 1 o'clock. After he made about 4,000 contacts to the south, but it then kicked up again, and it was a lot of fun talking to the guys in Florida, and I think we had some out in New Orleans and Alabama area and Mississippi area down south, and so it was a lot of fun, a lot like the contest last September that I got to participate in, except we were all just in Tony's house this time and not a hot, sweaty tent. So it was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to field day next weekend. So back to you, K2BAR.
The real men contest in hot, sweaty tents. But anyway, listen, Jim. All right. Pretty good. Well, it sounds like you're psyched up. Good. All righty. I think we've beaten this to death. Anybody have any further adventures of the contest they'd like to share with us? Or questions. Keep in mind the UHF contest is the first full weekend in August. It's 222 and above. It's a 24-hour contest. Unlike the VHF contest, it starts at 2 on Saturday and ends at 2 on Sunday. So there's no Sunday afternoon or evening. But that's the first weekend in August. And the other thing is, of course, the September VHF contest. Away we go again. Come down to Field Day over at the Community Services Building for Paramus on Ridgewood Avenue and Paramus Road, I guess it is. Yeah, I guess it is. There is that. I can't remember now. Across the street from the hospital. And in the parking lot, you'll find the Barra guys, the Barra boys, and the Barra babes. You can get on the air and get some experience. I'll get you all tuned up for the VHF contest in the fall. All righty. Anybody else have comments? Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB.
Mr. Rich, go ahead.
That building's on Farview Avenue across from the hospital. Paramus Road is pretty far from there. That's on the other side of 17. And the only query I have is, where do I send my log? I mean, I don't have anything near the number of contacts you guys got. You know, I was by myself for the first time and just trying it out, and I got like 23 contacts, and you know, where do I mail that into?
ARRL 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut 06. I can't remember the zip code.
I'm at for the club score.
K2MI. Hi, Rich, and again, thank you for your contacts. I did speak with you over the contest. Send them to Phil Barber, K2YLH@ARRL.net, and ask to review your log and ask him to forward it to ARRL. It should be forwarded under the name of Bergen ARA. If you'll send your logins, then make sure that you're associated with Bergen ARA. That's how they know what's up with the league. And, Gordon, if you wish to send your log to me, I can forward it to Phil, but Phil is the ultimate decider on bringing the logs. And would like to see all the logs go through him. But, and even, I think that J.E.K. did a pretty good bang-up job on the contest, although I haven't heard his comments yet. but either send them directly to Phil, or if you can't do that, send them to me, and I'll fill, send them up. Again, I'm K2AMI at ARRL.net. Phil is WA2LXE at ARRL.net. WA2LXE at ARRL.net. He's the editor of the Barrel Bulletin. Over.
WA2LXE at AWRL.net will certainly work. I'll send mine to Phil or you or both, and I'm going to send mine to the league as well because I want to make sure that they get it. But I'll delay a little bit just in case there are any questions come up before I send it to the league. You or Phil could flag them for me if you so desire. Alrighty. Anybody else, please call. K2BAR.
W2JK.
Excellent. I was hoping you'd chime in. Good. Mr. Dodd.
Yeah, I know from the past, I think all that Phil wants is the first page, the summary sheet. You don't have to have the actual log itself of the time and date of each contact. Just the summary that you had X number of contacts on and how many points and multipliers on each band. As everybody knows, we had the horrendous thunderstorms that I just about started at 3 o'clock. And I thunder started, and I sat down. I went on the handy talkie with 2 meters with the Weber duck. And I worked David, K2DSL, as he was about to go into Tony's house. That was my first contact with the 2 meters and a rubber duck. And that was it until around 8 o'clock on Sunday night. Because of all the lighting, I didn't want to hook up my antenna to the equipment and on Saturday. And Sunday morning, I had church, and then we had to do some shopping. I had a wake to go to, and after the wake, there was a barbecue for Father's Day. Finally, everybody went home, and at 8 o'clock, I got on. I had 45 contacts and 15 grids. There were 40 contacts on 6 meters, 5 on 2 meter FM, with the handy talkie using the outside antenna. I had 12 grids on 6 and 3 grids on 2 meter band using the FM. That's, everybody's got a 2 meter radio, and if you can get on and at least give those points out. Especially too, if you have a club station like A2BAR, better work them and give them the extra points because they multiply it by their multiplier. So your 1 point is multiplied by 83 points or however many multipliers they have in the on their score for the club score. But yeah, it was good. I got a new grid out of it, and I worked the fellow that Tony had worked out. Iowa someplace, and then I worked another fellow, but he was out on CW. I don't think Tony worked him. And that's one thing I do too, is I go down into the CW band and I picked up a couple stations there. And another thing I did, last contact was K3YTO. Wasn't getting my grid too well. I switched to CW and sent it to him a couple times, and he got it through CW that way. Back to that, W2JK.
Excellent. Alrighty. Well, it's exactly what one can expect. You go to CW in order to cover the sins of propagation, operator fatigue, antenna pointing, power levels, receiver preamp blown, all sorts of things. So that's great. That's super. I'm glad to see that you're able to make those contacts. Anybody else have any war stories from the weekend? This is K2BAR.
2 Zulu Charlie.
Hey, Dave. Blue Charlie, go ahead. Thank you, by the way, again, like everybody else, for your contacts as well. W2TTT, K2BAR.
I just got on here a little bit late, so I assume you're talking about the contest over the weekend. and I want to ask questions on who to submit my log to. Normally I submit my log myself and send a summary to Phil. Hold on a second, I'm on Vox here and it's causing problems. Yeah, okay, normally I send my log, my summary to Phil and I submit my own log. Is that what you're doing for this contest?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We had a lot of fun over the weekend. We were kind of busy, though, with Father's Day and some other activities and all the storms. But we ended up with about 53 contacts and 20 grids. I think we had 6 on 50 CW, 38 on sideband on 50, and 9 on 2 meters sideband. I didn't get any on FM. And that was about it. I heard a lot of those stations down in Florida and Louisiana and Texas and I think Nebraska. Not all of them heard me, though, so. But it's the most grids I ever got in a VHF contest, so it's my personal best for me. I'm happy. And with that, back to net.
That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. So, you know, don't be apologetic about that at all. I think that's just phenomenal. So, you know, consider the amount of work you've done and how well it worked out. You've exceeded your prior score. That matters a lot. I made some changes to my shack. I wanted to see if I could get a second 6-meter beam up on the other tower that would not be pointing toward New England through my neighbor's house. And the good news is that I was able to work New England without pointing toward my neighbor's house. Bad news is that it was still pointed basically out toward Long Island Sound and not up as far north as I would like, but the frontal lobe was enough to allow me to work up at FN43 without too much trouble. I'm not complaining, but I still have a lingering cable problem. Actually, I think it's an interconnection problem with this TV, actually. To its cable box. Either that or there's cable leakage. And we tried to bring the cable company out once before, and I'm not a cable customer, so it's a real nuisance. And second I point my antenna north into his house, bang, he calls me. So in the morning when I was able to see where the antenna was able to be pointed without interfering to him, as I say, it's pointed basically just a hair north of east out toward Long Island Sound. That's fine. However, I dropped it. Gave me another option, which was kind of cool. Using the Pro 3, I was able to flip antennas between two directions instantaneously. So I was able to go from the New England side to wherever I was, west, south, northwest, on the second antenna. Both are 5-element Yagi, so that was very cool. That was very cool, so I'm liking that, but I also put a 432 beam on my other tower because it wasn't working out well because of a feed line issue on the back tower. So I put one up on the other tower and it worked fine. So we're now going to go to the rotatable mast, which brings me to my question. I am looking for a telescoping mast that's not of the TV variety. I gotta emphasize that. I do not want a TV mast. I already have one of those. I'm looking for something that's stout like that, but thicker wall, sturdier, and with a finer level of nesting and locking. I have a rotatable mast in my roof now that extends actually too high for me to use, because I want to actually get the antennas higher. So I'm looking for is a 10-foot mast section, or a set of 10-foot mast sections, maybe three, nested inside, one inside after the other. When it's lowered into my house, into the rotator, it will be basically face height on the roof, which will allow me to put antenna on and push up the mast, put the next antennas on, push up the mast, and repeat that until it's all up and locked. So that's kind of the plan. So I'm looking for a really nicely nested, really sturdy tubular telescoping mast arrangement. I'm looking for suggestions on how to do that. That's my question for the day, because that's what I'm going to do with my 2 meter and above stack on the house. So, questions, comments on that, please call KTBAR.
W2TT to the KTBAR, W2JEK. My father had a round 50 footer. I still have it out in the garage. I'm going to hang on to it and I'm selling it, I think. But with that, you have to guide, I think, too. So you have to keep in mind that that's something you're going to have to do, especially if you put an antenna on the top of it. All he used it for was an inverted V. And he had still a pulley on the thing when he used, I think, 3/16 inch nylon rope to run the antenna up and down. And he experimented with several different antennas. He had parallel dipoles and trap dipoles and things like that. Various, I think, 80, 40, and 20 meters, stuff like that. But I remember pushing the thing up from standing on a ladder, and then you'd lock the one, and then you'd push the next one up. Again, you had to keep in mind that when you get it up there, you got to guide the thing off somehow.
Okay. But I can't do that. That's the whole point. Just out of curiosity, that mast is not for sale. Just out of curiosity, of the 50-foot section, of the 50-foot push-up mast, how wide is it at the bottom? How many sections is it to get to 50 feet?
I think it's five sections, Gordon, and it's about 3 inches at the bottom, I think. I don't have the exact measurements here, you know, but they say it's a nominal 50 feet, but I think it's more like 46 because you have about a 1 foot overlap four times there. The top section has a foot into the second section, and the second section loses a foot, and the third section loses a foot, and so on. You've got like 46 feet in actuality.
I understand. Okay. I really only need about 30 feet of masting. That would be more than adequate. But starting in the 3-inch range and working down to, let's say, 2 would be just right. Maybe 1 3/4, that'd be fine, something of that nature. But I think I want to do it with telescoping tubing that's really, really sturdy, like something like a 1/4 inch wall type of thing. I've got thrust bearings. I've got the ability to really, you know, do it up inside, you know, with thrust bearings inside the house. So that's the problem. What happens is the mast goes through the house, and so I've got a waterproof entry point right through my roof. Oddly enough, the one thing you have to do, by the way, is you have to cap the mast. And in the case of the push-up mast, I'll actually have to put a little collar-like umbrella structure above each of the joints to make sure that the water is deflected around the joint so it doesn't get direct water ingress. But I've experimented with the mast I have, and it's worked very, very well for the last 3 years. It's just I need it to be taller if I'm going to do what I need to do on the upper VHF, UHF, and microwave. So that's kind of the reason for this whole discussion. Alrighty. But thank you for that. That's good. Anybody else have any questions, comments, confusions for them? Please call KTBAR.
K2GCL repeater.
Alrighty. Well, this has been fun. Just a reminder, the 13th of July, Sunday, is the Sussex County Amateur Radio Association, Amateur Radio Club, AmFest. And I will be away for that, unfortunately, this year. But my older sons are thinking about going, which would be kind of cool. and we'll see how that their weekend goes. But in any case, just thought I'd mention that. And I guess that's about it. You know what? There was one other person I wanted to ping. Bennett, your comments for the contest, because I think you were on as well. KO2OK, K2BAR. Yes, he is gone. Okay. Not a problem. Well, thanks, everybody. This is K2BAR. I'm going to stand by for K2DSL. W2TTT is returning the repeater to normal operation and thanking the Bergen County FM Association for use of the repeater. See you later.